We're going to start this morning in a visualization. Feel free to close your eyes if you want. Feel free to keep them open. Feel free to stay at the floor, whatever you want to do. But we're going to do a visualization. Imagine living in a region where you and your people are outcasts from the majority due to division generations before you. So much so that you are hated and the majority won't cross through your area, your town, and instead choose a longer route where they have to cross a river and go way out of their way to get to where they want to go. Imagine you knowing you are right on the main point of division and the others knowing that they are right on their main point, on the main point of division. Further, you are an outcast from your own people and pick times to do daily tasks outside the typical times. You are lonely and alone. You've been in survival mode for quite some time, doing potentially and perceived immoral things as you try and try to survive. Imagine you long for a better life and have hope in God, but not quite placing it fully on God as the world and your situation pulls you in different directions. Now imagine doing a daily task alone, and you stumble across an interesting individual from the other people engaging you in conversation, contrary to the culture. Imagine you are the Samaritan woman going to draw water at the well, alone, intentionally trying to not engage with anyone, but yet there is this Jewish man sitting at the well. This is atypical and taboo for a Jewish man to talk to a Samaritan woman. It's not typical for men to go to the well. It's not typical for a Jew to be in the area. But here you are at the well being engaged in conversation. What is happening? Now imagine you were you. You think about the things that make you you, the circumstances that have influenced you, how you perceive yourself because of them, or how you think others perceive you, maybe sometimes, or some places you feel like an outcast, or fill in the blank if that's not the right word for you. Maybe there is or was a time in your life you use coping mechanisms that weren't or aren't appropriate then or now. Maybe there's a task you do in a particular way so you can do it alone. In our own ways, we are each the Samaritan woman. We live our lives with our stuff. And I'm going to give you the punchline, and you can come up out of your visualization now. Before we get into the scriptures, Jesus shows up for us every time. For the fill-in-the-blank circumstances that you've gone through in your life, good, bad, and different, how you perceive yourself, how others may perceive yourself, perceive you, or how you think others perceive you, etc. Jesus just wants to be in your life, walking with you, talking with you, sharing with you, helping you grow and mature. Jesus wants to do it alongside you, whatever your well is. Nice setup for me to read 42 verses. We're going to do the whole thing. We're going to do John chapter 4. Make sure you're comfortable. Because there's some great nuggets that are going to come out of a conversation with the Samaritan woman and Jesus. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself did not baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had got into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you are right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter where you worship the Father, on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then, his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Why are you talking to her? The woman left with her water jug beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God, who sent me, and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So Jesus stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear Jesus's message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. So here's 8 nuggets that I pulled from this that we're going to talk about. 1, Jesus was waiting for her at the well, away from others, creating a safe space to have an open and candid, courageous conversation. 2, Jesus outreaches to her over a common need, water. In an attempt to connect and start that conversation and disarm their differences a little bit there, right? 3, as soon as there is reciprocated engagement, Jesus moves a little bit further into that conversation to open her mind to see Jesus and what God has in store for her. 4, Jesus begins to explain further now that her engagement and intention is fully had. 5, Jesus gives the why. Listen to me, the why, and you should listen to me. Jesus explains Jesus' qualifications. 6, Jesus educates and breaks down the division walls. It will no longer matter where you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. We will all be united through the Spirit and the truth. 7, Jesus calls her to mature, knowing the future, filling her with hope and a path forward by saying true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And lastly, Jesus drops the mic as only Jesus can. I am the Messiah. I'm looking, I'm waiting, I know the Messiah is coming. Look no further, child. The promised deliverer, the leader of salvation, the anointed one is right here in front of you. This next part, when she departs and the disciples come back, Jesus engages the disciples in a lesson to grow them. Remember, Jesus was tired and weary at the beginning? He was tired and weary at the beginning of the chapter. And now he is refusing food, and I'm not quite sure he ever got that drink of water. The scriptures never say, and so then while they were talking, she like dropped the water down, they like clink glasses. I'm not sure he got the water either. But he's full of nourishment. Why? Because 34 through 38 says, nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing God's work. And man, he was doing God's work, right? He challenges and teaches the disciples about their work, calling them to open their minds to further understand their calling, inviting them to mature in order to live out their harvester roles. The woman said, he told me everything I ever did. See when the stuff is in the open with Jesus, it becomes something that is bearable. It's still heavy. I'm not going to say that just because you're transparent with yourself and with Jesus, the stuff that's circulating and bogging you down, it's not still a heavy load, but it becomes bearable. You know why? Because Jesus now carries the load. And Jesus is enabled by you to begin sifting through the stuff with you. You got to put the stuff in the sifter to be sifted through. And the harvester has to sift it. Jesus is now acknowledged by you as savior of the stuff, all of it. Sifting is a process used in harvesting crops to separate and remove the crop from the unedible parts. It is done after the crop has matured and is ready to accept Jesus and be harvested. Oh, I skipped, though that worked. I skipped two lines, but that worked. It is ready to be harvested. See, the Samaritan woman was mature and ready to accept Jesus and be harvested, to be sifted by the Savior. For my beachgoers, it's also like when you're shelling and you got the little sifter, you separate the sand from the shells so you could see how beautiful the shells are. To start the process of separating the stuff that weighs her down or overshadows the spiritually mature crop. The thing about spiritual sifting is it's a continuous process throughout our lives. It's part of the journey. Okay, I gotta pause here just for a second and mark my spot. Listen, here's the cool thing about sifting. Think about an oat. I don't know. Think about an oat field, like I put on the screen. You harvest those oats. And same thing as a sifter, is like a separator, like a combine. And that combine goes through the field, and it cuts it off at the bottom of the stalk. But the oats are at the top of the stalk, right? So like my hands are the oats. This is the stalk. The farmer doesn't cut it off at just the bottom of where the oats get into the stalk. The farmer cuts it off at the stalk. So it's low to the ground. And then the separator comes through and it puts the oat seeds in a basket and it throws the stalk on the ground. And then the farmer takes the oats and does what it does with that. And then the farmer comes back and it collects all that stalk. Because you know what that stalk is now? It's straw. And that straw is useful. And the oats are useful. If you were to keep them all together, you can't use the oats and you can't use the straw. You got to separate the two for all of the stuff to be useful. So like some of that heavy weight where you got to work through stuff, if you kind of separate out like what you grew from it and you deal with some of the emotions, the straw, it could become bedding. A safe place for an animal to lay down. Isn't that cool? So all of you, all your experiences, all the stuff that's with you, it is all amazingly awesome. But sometimes we got to deal with that stuff to be able to turn the stalk into straw. Speaking of stuff, I got to bring it up again. I recently shared that I am sifting in a sifting stage, separating, pulling out the resentment. Now I have a nice little pile of it. I'm aware of it. I haven't bedded the hogs down with it yet. It hasn't fully become straw. It's sitting there, waiting for Jesus and I to continue to work through it and put it to good use. The oats and the straw. See, when the oats, the crop, are separated from the stalk is also useful. It becomes straw, your stuff. All the things you ever did, circumstances that happen around or to you, perceptions, yours, or how you think others perceive you or how they told you, it is useful in your growth and maturity, but it must be separated from the crop. And to allow the crop to be purposeful. Isn't that cool? Church, Jesus is trying to engage you in a conversation. Not just about the stuff that's easy to talk about, like the weather. Jesus wants to engage you in deep, candid, courageous conversations that are meaningful and go beyond which fast food joint has the best hash browns. Jesus wants to, God, I just can't express it enough. Jesus wants to be in the muck with you. Jesus wants to be in a deep relationship with you. That surface stuff isn't going to get you there. Are you open to it? What does Jesus need to show you to focus in and have that conversation? Does Jesus need to give you the qualifications? Do you need a safe space, like being alone at the well? What's the worst thing that could happen if you and Jesus laid it all out in the open so it could be sifted? And you can grow, having the crop and the stock be useful to serve God. To invoke healing. To invoke further growth. To invoke further maturity. Because remember, you got to be mature till you get to this stage. Jesus shows up for us every time, for fill in the blank, circumstances, how you perceive yourself, how you think others, etc. Jesus wants to be in your life, walking with you, talking with you, sharing with you, helping you grow and mature alongside you, supporting you as the Savior, as the sifter. Amen, church. We're going to do something a little different to close out today. We are going to have a quiet contemplation moment because Jesus is waiting for us. Jesus is waiting for you. And I'm going to share a song, and I'm going to share something, too, I wasn't intending to, but in addition to having it out in the open with Jesus so you can start being sifted, when you're also to a point where the shame and the guilt of things or fill-in-the-blank things that hold you back from talking to others about it comes out, you help others, or you allow others to help you. Two examples. An addict gets clean. They work through and they sift out the crop of now they're clean and the stock that becomes straw when they start ministering to other people and they can talk openly about it. Man, that's cool. In my case, a couple weeks ago when I preached about my personal journey and my struggle, the amount of text messages that I got ministering back to me is a testament of this church and the church in general, our spiritual maturity and how we care about everybody. And to be one of the pastors of this church and have the church reach back out to me and say, "We've got you too, Pastor," is amazing. And one of the aha moments was multiple messages, but then someone sent me this song called "The Threshing Floor." And I knew, based on the words that were spoken to me through the text, and I just knew this song was going to be impactful. I waited a good week to listen to it, because I knew I needed to be ready for it. And I knew I needed to have the safe space to allow it to wash over me. And boy, am I glad that I did, because I was ready for it. And it was really good. So I hope that it kind of helps put this all together and it motivates you to allow that open, candid, courageous conversation with Jesus to start just putting everything in the sifter and allowing you too to start to be healed from some things, to grow from some things, and start harvesting yourselves, you wonderful, beautiful disciples.